D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter. Teron, we spent the previous hour talking about multi-sport athletes, Cam Ward's background as a multi-sport athlete, and how that could help him in the long run. And doing your research about Cam Ward, getting to know Cam Ward and the people around Cam Ward, how did his multi-sport upbringing help him get to this point?
Yeah, it helps in a variety of ways. You look at the arm angles that he uses, you know, that's a little bit of a background baseball. But then, most importantly, one thing that continuously comes out about him is how he's comfortable in space and comfortable with people around him. And that's something that comes from playing basketball. He actually was a pretty good hooper back in high school, and that's something that helps, just that spatial awareness and just getting used to having people around you and moving in that tight, condensed area, right? Because, you know, you take it to the cup, you got to be able to get around people and, you know, find a way to get your shot up without it getting smacked into the stands. And that's something that he was able to do. So those are two areas that really helped him.
Teron, over at ESPN.com, there's a story where I'm not sure who wrote this story, to be perfectly honest with you, but they were looking for the best fits for the remaining free agents or trade candidates in the NFL. And the Titans end up on here with Kazir White, the linebacker, most recently, of the Arizona Cardinals. What can you tell us about Kazir White, and could you see a fit with the Titans if he decided that he liked Tennessee?
Yeah, well, that story was written by Matthew Bowen.
Yes, thank you.
And he looked at a fit for all teams. Kazir White, I remember him coming out, and he was a prospect, you know, that a lot of people liked. You know, he was, if I'm not mistaken, was it a second-round pick? It might even have been later.
He was a fourth-round pick in 2018.
Okay, there you have it right there, a fourth-round pick. Not the biggest guy. He's someone that, you know, you could blitz off the edge. He gives you a little something in coverage. But I don't think that's a move that the Titans need to make, to be honest with you. They got the younger guys there and you know, Cedric Gray as well as James Williams. So I think they'll be good there. And obviously Otis Reese. So to me, it's just more kind of like the same.
Now, Teron, a quick question for you before I ask about the Titans. You're a Met fan, right? And I know Willie's a Met fan. I know why Willie's a Met fan, because he's a New York guy. But I would assume if you're a Met fan, are you a Knicks fan too? And I wanted to ask Willie this too, like, because I hadn't heard him say anything about the Knicks. And the Knicks have found themselves in the Eastern Conference Final. So are y'all just both Mets fans and y'all could care less about, you know, the Knicks or any other team? I know y'all don't care about the Yankees, but like outside of other sports, you know, outside of baseball.
Yeah, you know, my first exposure to sports was the Mets. When I lived in New York, I was born in Queens, so naturally a Mets fan, and it just kind of dug into me, and I never let it go. Actually, a small fact about me is my first favorite football team was the Jets. I loved Al Toon and Freeman McNeil. And, you know, the Jets moved from Shea, like across the river to New Jersey. And I felt like I thought they abandoned, you know, me, you know what I mean? And so I hated the Jets. The Knicks, you know, if there was a basketball team, like if I had to pick a team, it would probably be the Knicks, just because, you know, growing up, Bernard King was a guy that I really, really liked. And then Patrick Ewing. And then I was a Knicks fan, honestly, all the way through the Melo years. But then when they traded Melo, I was just really, really done with them. And so I said, you know, I don't have any other teams. The Mets are my team. That's the only team I'm going to root for, and that's where we are.
I'm similar to Teron. I moved out of the New York area when I was 12 to Orlando, Florida. That's where I went to high school. So over time, I kind of lost my affiliation to – at different amounts of time, because I grew up watching all the New York teams. That's all you could get. I didn't have cable TV, but all those New York teams were on TV, so I watched them a lot.
Yeah.
but I sort of lost interest over time with everybody other than the Mets. Mm-hmm. So, but the Mets were the one team I've always kept with me from my time that I left New York. So there was a time he mentioned Bernard King. I loved watching Bernard King in the in his heyday. But by the time I got to, like, it was weird, Orlando. Mm-hmm. We got the Magic right as I was leaving to come here to Nashville.
Penny Hardaway didn't
check. So I had some interest in the Magic. So that's where you start moving in different directions in your life, and you sometimes lose affiliation to teams. So I have nothing against the Knicks. I like to see them do well, but I'm not a Knicks fan.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering because both y'all now know that both y'all were born, you know, in the New York area. So, but and this was the question that I posed to the guys via text. And we'll talk about it some other time. We look at Brian Callahan and we say, listen, this may be a lame duck year for him, and that's unfortunate, in a sense of a lot of Cam's success may be riding on, Cam's success may be riding on whether he keeps his job or not, and maybe that's not the right way to approach it. And you've said that maybe keeping both of them and letting them develop together works well.
Yeah.
But outside of the head coach, which other position coach do you feel is on a hot seat?
I would say
in regards to the development of their position.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well just put it right to the quarterback coach or to the offensive coordinator. This offense has to do better. They were 17.6 points a game or something like that. It was bad last year. You know what I mean? And so, obviously, the defense has their warts, et cetera. But I would say, Nick Holtz, Bo Hardigree, like, those guys are really under pressure because they're directly tied to Cam Ward. And so, it all revolves around number one, in my opinion. And as he goes, the franchise goes. So, anybody associated with him, those are the ones that, they're on the grill.
So, I'm talking about a guy, even though – I'm looking at the tight end position, and I'm thinking they need to get more out of this position because I think this is one of the positions that can, like, sort of behind the scene can really help Cam out if this tight end position really takes off and can be an integral part of what they want to do offensively.
Yeah, that's true, and I think a bit of that goes back to the quarterback coach, goes back to the offensive coordinator, because you look at this scheme, it's not really designed for a tight end to have, the 70 to 80 catches, 1,000 yards type of thing. Now, if it happens, that means, a lot of things went right. But I think, it's going to be up to the quarterback coach to help work to Bo Hardigree, to help Cam Ward, to be able to get the ball there. It's going to be up to Nick Holtz and Brian Callahan together. And we talked about the seam routes when I was on last week with Adam, and Jake. Those seam routes, he likes to throw those, right? And so, you got to incorporate that in there. And tight ends, athletic ones, or ones that just know how to get open, or ones that are really tall, like the three guys that the Titans have, in Okonkwo, athletic, Gunnar Helm, just knows how to get open, and Wiley, who's what, 6'6" or so, these guys are built to be used on the seam, so you got to mix that in too.
Talking to Teron Davenport, and Teron, do you think now that they have a look at the rookies, they've got their undrafted free agents they're bringing to camp, are there any other late moves? And I realize that Joe Montana's not sitting on the street, right? Too Tall Jones isn't sitting on the street. Anthony Munoz, but is there a guy or two out there they might now take a look at that at a position group that they think might be an extra guy that could be useful?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that they continue to mention about having the number one pick is also the value of being first in the waiver wire. So I tell you, there's going to be some look, June 1st, you always have the veterans that pop open. Pop onto the market. So there could be something there. I don't, off the top of my head, see any ones that say, oh, yeah, that's a Titan signing of the remaining guys. But don't be surprised if there's one because they've already said they're going to be aggressive. And, again, they have their first in the waiver wire.
It seems like that is going to be an important mindset for Mike Borgonzi is along this pathway, if you can take advantage of that, every little thing that gives you an advantage as the team on the bottom, and that's one of them, first crack at the waiver wire, if you can just find a couple of hits, maybe not great players, but useful players, you're one mini step closer to being the type of roster you're looking for.
Yeah, I think the Commanders showed a good example of that last year, you know, with some of the guys they hit on. You know, Frankie Louvu, you know, obviously Jaden Daniels drafting him helped everything, but I think they showed how a series of smaller, less glamorous moves can add up to a big one when it all comes together and you find a new guy to drive your ship correctly, and I think that's what they had. The Titans have done some similar things, right? You know, signing Cody Barton, signing Draymond Jones, you know, bringing in those types of guys, Xavier Woods. And now they went out and they drafted, you know, Cam Ward. So we'll see how all that comes together. Every situation is different. So I'm not directly comparing that to the Commanders, but I think they're a good example of how you can make some small moves that could help out.
Teron, I know we've talked a lot about Lajarius Sneed and whatever happened off the field, but I'm curious about just his health. Have you talked to him or have you gotten any reports about how he's coming along from the surgery that ended his season? Can we count on him to be healthy and ready to go when training camp starts?
Yeah, apparently he's ahead of schedule. That's what we've been getting, you know, the last month or so from Brian Callahan. I don't know exactly what he's doing, you know, because he was still in the process of working towards running when I talked to Brian Callahan at the league meeting. But it's still all a work in progress. He's still going through the recovery process. That's something actually we'll probably need to get an update when we talk to Callahan tomorrow at 9:30. So look for that question to be asked.
Now, Teron, you were there, you know, chronicling Brian Callahan's first year, being out there at practice, not necessarily chronicling it, but being out there watching him as he, you know, took the field as a first-year head coach, even in practice leading up to camp. Is there anything different about him and his coaching staff as far as their approach that you see that you didn't see last year?
No, there's nothing different so far, but, I mean, again, it's just one practice. Mm-hmm. And we've had conversations, you know, press conference and just other conversations, but there's nothing necessarily different, so to speak. But I know there are some things that Brian Callahan would like to have done different because he said as much. So, and it's just like anything, after you do it, you start to learn the ins and outs and where you could add a little more here and take a little away there.
Do you think he feel more confident in himself or a little bit more sure of himself? Do it seem that way?
No, it doesn't seem that way at all. He seems the same as far as the you know, the confidence and mindset and everything. Obviously, it's a bigger challenge, but, I mean, like, the challenge last year was, hey, look, you got this guy who could be a franchise quarterback. Shine him up, polish him, and allow him to be one. And we know that didn't work last year, so we'll see how it works this year. You know, with a number one overall pick, it's a lot different, though.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us on D-Mace, Vangen, and Donick. Great stuff as always, TD. We'll chat next week.
All right, appreciate you guys.
Always a pleasure to talk to Teron Davenport. 615-737-1025. The Vandy boys, Willie Donick, they're in fuego. We will discuss Vanderbilt as the SEC tournament begins this week. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vangen, 1025-1063. The game.